pray, God, that we would be delighting in your law, that we would be delighting in your statutes, Father, that we will find peace and refuge in you, Lord. I thank you, God, for the brothers and sisters that are here. I pray you give them a special blessing, Lord. Speak to our hearts through the message today, God. And remind us, Lord, that you're not done with us, Father. We're tools here, Lord. I pray that we would avail ourselves, that we would give ourselves to you, Father, to be useful and not a stumbling block, Lord. Help us. Help us, Father, to be carriers of your love. Lord, as hard as it is, Father, I pray that we would be encouraged, that we would be invigorated, Lord, that this message would be encouraging to our body here as we await our pastor. Father, we thank you for bringing us brothers and sisters to serve here, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much, God, dying on the cross for us, Lord. And as we continue in the service, God, I pray that our hearts are ready to hear from you, that our minds are cleared out, Lord, and that we're awaiting you to speak, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Ray.
Well, amen. It's a blessing to be here with you. This is my first time to be preaching since I've had my heart attack. So we'll see if you're going to heart attack me anymore here. So it's been 6 weeks, and God's been doing some great things in my life, and appreciate all of your prayers. Never would have thought I would hear these words, you've had a heart attack, and it actually was right here in Centralia. I was picking up a ping pong table, and I told my wife my jaw was hurting and it's coming down here. And so she said, go to the hospital. And so I went straight to Centralia Hospital. And the words I did not like to hear was, you've had a heart attack. And so definitely change your thinking. Is there some water? Yeah, right here. Thank you. Change some thinking on my life. But again, I appreciate all of your prayers. It's a humbling thing because for 48 years now, used to helping people and being in their house and praying and doing all of this. And now I'm laying in bed flat, you know, just flat, not being able to do nothing. Here, all six of the kids, they're able to come in from all over the place, be with me. Not only that, but all the church family come and then all folks like you from around the world praying. So it's just a humbling fact that everybody's doing what I've been doing for everybody else and how they're doing for me. And I just thank the Lord that God's given me some extra time. I know there was 4 blockages, but they fixed 3, and my heart's pumping pretty good. And so I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I asked Cynthia if she would sing that song simply because we're going to talk about adversities. How many has had an adversity in your life before? I think all of us have been there. Matter of fact, we're still going to have adversities that's going to come up. So the thing about this adversity, how are we going to deal with it? Many times we deal with it our way and we get fearful and we start running. Well, there was a time when we said that we're going to build the first phase of our church for $100,000. Well, it didn't work that way because it was $1 million. I'm just thinking that we can do this, but not building before. And so now we start the second phase, the auditorium part. And again, we had $400,000 that was given, and we raised another $400,000, so $800,000 was going to be able to do it. Well, it didn't work out that way. It ended up costing $2 million to finish it out. But here's the part that got stressed, adversity came. That's why I asked Cynthia to sing this song. While we were planning our church and building our church, we came down here, Centralia, on Thursday nights and Saturdays in Dundornakin and met at the Grange over there, and the Laplantes would come and cook up the wood stove and it would smoke. People would come in. They didn't like the smell, so they would go out. And for 5 years, as we were building Olympia, we came down here with people from the church and did the same thing here. There come a time when we thought we were all done with our building, and we had to put in a water tank and such, and that cost some more money. And then after all of that was said and done, the inspector came out and said that there was not enough water flow. And so we're talking about, I no longer had any energy anymore to go to the people and say, we need more money. I was like, I was just like done. A big adversary that came. Adversity that came, that became a big adversary in my life. And so I remember that Sunday morning trying to get up to preach and knowing that everything that we did, and all the money that we spent, and now we're not going to be able to have the church. How's this all going to work out? And my heart was just crushed, and tried to get up and preach and did the best I could. One of the ladies saying, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And I wept as I was preaching. And at the end of the service, I went to the altar myself and asked God to help me with that. Went through the whole week trying to figure out how we can fix the problem. And then the tank, it was plugged up or whatever it was, but we spent way more money than we needed to have a fire flow come from a tank down to put two fire hydrants in for our building. And during all of that time, I just was struggling. So the next Sunday, get up and preach. And that song Cynthia sang, "Is there anything?" No, never let go of the Lord. And I'm telling you, God did something great. And as I got through preaching, I hit the altar and I said, "Lord, forgive me. God, you're doing something great." And while all this was going on, here's the simple problem was. Asked them to come back out again, and they came back out again, and all they needed to do was turn the valve up on the tank all the way instead of a quarter of the way. That's all it was. But I'm telling you, when there's adversity that comes in our lives, we get all stirred up. We get all tweaked out. How's this going to work? It's not going to work. But yet, remember, God has it all worked out. And so today, I want us to look at, in the Bible, trusting the Lord for adversity. If you can turn to Psalm 34, verse number 17. Psalm 34, verse number 17. And when you find it, if you can stand, we'll read verses 17 through 22. You know, this church means a lot to Olympia Bible Baptist Church. It means a lot to our folks and myself. When we first needed a meeting space, we met over there at King Oscar Motel, and we baptized there in the swimming pool there. And then we were able to purchase, we met here, Kirkendall's building, and then he wanted to sell the building. I think he was wanting $450,000, $500,000 for it. At that time, we did not have that kind of money. And so we went down the road over there, and we were able to buy the other chiropractor building that's over there. And as the Olympia Bible Baptist Church bought it, paid the mortgage, and people were coming, and then the Lord brought Pastor Tim here. And as Pastor Tim came, he actually saw this place and said, "This will be a good place." And I think you guys ended up buying it at that time for $120,000 or something like that, and then tore down this building. And so this place means something. We have time spent here. We have even helping taking down the buildings and moving here and moving there. And I know that God has a special plan for Centralia Bible Baptist Church. But there's going to be some adversity that's going to come in the way. Right now, I just wish that your preacher would just get here now. Instead of just waiting, just get here now. But there's some adversity that's there that's got to be taken care of. And no doubt, you're having a different preacher preach every Sunday. And that's got to be kind of a bummer. getting used to this one, getting used to that one. I can't imagine. You're getting used to Brother Jerry. You're getting used to Brother Bo. You're getting used to my son Caleb. You're getting used. I don't know who else from our church has come down, but other preachers in the area preach it. And now you're thinking, "Hey, whoa, you want your pastor. You want your preacher." And I understand that. And it's going to happen. So in the meantime, there's going to be some adversity that's going to come until that happens. How are you going to deal with it? I want us to deal with it in the right way. God's got it under control, all under control. He is his plan to do what he's doing. And so will we just sit back and just let God just do that? Follow with me here in verse 17, verse 34. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." My wife sang, and her back just went out just yesterday. She's been caring for me for all these 6 months, and I tell you what, I so appreciate that. There's things that will happen, Adversities will come. And I just watched her try to get up there and hold on to the pew. And but listen, in all of this stuff that we do, are we able to get up there and say, never let go of the Lord? Never. Whatever. Never let go of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to serve you. And Lord, thank you for this church that's been a lighthouse here for several years. Thank you, Lord, for these people that are here. Thank you for those that from the beginnings that help get it where it's at even now. And so, Lord, bless and encourage us in a great way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to take a little bit of this handout, and if you have a handout, follow up here and try to follow through this. I did add some more things to it that I don't have a handout for as I was studying this just a couple days. But when you think about the afflictions that we have, we must realize that every affliction that comes in your life and my life is part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan. You say, no way. It's not part of, no way it can be part of God's plan. Well, it is part of God's plan. So the question I had to ask myself, why do we have afflictions? Well, number one, because we're human. Every human being is going to have some conflict, some afflictions. That's just life. And number two, Satan is going to try to interrupt everything in your life to stop you from serving God and stop allowing you from having God's plan in your life. So that's the affliction part. But yet when you see the third part is this, that the afflictions, if you understand this, there's God's tool in your life to allow you to become stronger and stronger and to help you grow in the Lord. So as these afflictions come and as these adversities come in our life, how do we handle them? Do we go ahead and let Satan take them and rob us from what God wants? Understanding it's a human thing that we're going to have these things in our life. They're going to come on a regular basis. But yet will we take them to say, I know that that's God's will in my life. And I know God's going to use that as a tool because he wants to grow me up. He wants to grow me up. Now, before we move on any more in the handout, I want you to know from verse number one, this is David, and he's writing this song, and psalms are songs that are being sung, and he's writing this while he's in a cave, and he's writing this as David went to the city of Gath, which is a Palestinian city, which he should not have been there, but he ran there because he wanted some safety because Saul was after his life, and here at that city, he started to become like a madman because he knew it wasn't going to work out. And so he had to take refuge. He wasn't there very long because he knew the Philistines was not going to have him. And so he ran, and he ran to a cave, and he went to the cave of Adullam, and there he found some desperate people that needed some help. And as David was writing this song right here, he was able to sing this song in front of all of these people because he went to this cave. And my goodness, I think we need to get back and understand if God can do this for David, God can do it for your life and my life. And there's only two parts that I see in this chapter number 34 that God is talking about. David is telling the people, listen, I want every one of you to start praising God. That's what he's trying to tell them. They're in the cave. Start praising God. Start praising God. Start praising God. And then he says, the second part of this, he's trying to teach them how to do that. Follow with me to verse number one. These are not in your notes, okay? This is some extra stuff that I just come up with just in a couple days that I thought we needed to find out why David is writing this and what is going on in David's life. And when you think about the word adversity is a very difficult or unfavorable situation. Have you had one of those before? He showed courage in this adversity. Matter of fact, when you look at some of the words that are similar, hardship, trouble, distress, suffering. All of these mean adversity that's going to come in your life. And so here is David. He's saying, listen, men, I want you to start praising God right now. Don't worry about what's going on in your life. Stop it. We're in a cave right now, and we need to praise God and give God all the glory. Look at verse number one, what he says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. And so as David is saying, listen, praise God. Praise God. His life is being overflowed with this joy and this excitement. Do you know people like that in your life that just keep praising the Lord? They're in a cave. They're in a tunnel. They keep praising the Lord. They don't stop. They keep praising the Lord. And then because of that, you see verse 3 and verse 3 down to verse 7. This is a testimony. And I thank God. Listen, your pastor, Pastor Tim, and our daughter, Christy, they have a testimony. They have been working and serving God for their whole life, and God still wants to use them. And no doubt, God's plan is for them to be here at Cetrea Bible Baptist Church. There's adversity there. There's adversity here. But let's trust God. And can I tell you, he's saying right now, keep praising God. Keep praising God, your preacher. Keep praising God. Don't allow all these negative people come and say, hey, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. No, David is saying in this cave, keep praising God. And he has this testimony. And that testimony was one that was delivered by God himself. Look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let me exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I say, what a testimony. I remember visiting and knocking on the Schellenberger's home. Had a phone call that their Pat, the Schellenberger's other son, just accepted Christ from Australia. Go out there and tell my family they need Jesus and get them in church. And so I went out there, took my son TJ and Christy, went and knocked. The end of the story is my daughter ends up marrying Tim Schellenberger. Just because I answered the telephone call and for that. And the testimony that I've watched my son-in-law grow up and allow God to use him. And as God brought him here to Centralia, and as you planted, you started the church, you chartered the church with Pastor Tim Schellenberger. And no doubt, whatever took place for him to go from here to Florida, I have no idea because I was not for that thing. But God took that, and God has used that. And that was an adversity that came in his life. And no, an adversity in your life. But praise God, the fixes were here, and Pastor Tim was able to help that. And now the fixes are gone. And now there's another adversity. And now you got three or four preachers preaching every week. And you're wondering, who's going to be the preacher? Listen, trust God. You have God that says, keep serving God. Keep trusting God. You might be in a cave. Keep trusting God. You have a man of God that's got a testimony and a family that's got a testimony. God knows it all. And then I see here, David is saying, let me remind you and let me give you an invitation now to share my joy, and you share my joy with other people. And even though Pastor Tim's not here, you do that. Because look at verse number 8. Oh, haste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth him. Oh, fear the Lord, you and his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack to suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything. So here is David in this cave. Listen, keep praising God. Don't stop. Keep praising God. And as you keep praising God, you understand that there's a testimony that's about to be revealed. People are watching you. People are wanting to see, are you really living up to what you're really talking about? And as we continue to do that, he's inviting an invitation. Why don't we all come and why don't we all be joyful and know that God's got all things worked out for the good? And in the second part, David now is trying to teach his people. In verse number 11, he says, Listen, live in the fear of the Lord. Don't be afraid that God's going to do something crazy to you. No, the fear is respect. Respect Christ. Respect him. He says in verse 11, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whose is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He is teaching them, listen, fear the Lord. And then he says, why don't you live under the watchful care of God? God is watching you, so why don't you continue to live like God's around all the time? Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are the righteous, and his ears are upon to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And then he says this, you better start practicing humility in your life. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This is David after he says, you guys keep praising God, but now he's living this example, and now he's teaching. Can I tell you, you have Pastor Tim. He's quite a good teacher. Every time I hear him preach and teach, I learn something from God's word. And so he will teach you. David's teaching, but you got to be humble. Look at verse 17. The righteous cries out. Now that's a whole other sermon, but I wanted to find out what was going on in front of that before we get to this. And now remember, adversities will come. How are they going to come? Because we're human, because Satan does not want us to have God's plan. And remember, God will work these things out because there's tools in your life because God wants to grow you up. So who are you going to listen to today? Who are you going to listen to? You know, in our text here, there's five responses. And these things will go very quickly to get to the end of the conclusion. There's five responses that I believe that you and I should enjoy and exercise because these are the blessings of God during this time of adversity in our life. And if we will do these five things, I guarantee you, it will help us to see where David was at in this cave. It will help us to see why David is trying to teach these folks. And I guarantee you too, it will help you to see that Centralia Bible Baptist Church, your preacher is on his way. He's on his way. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. So keep praising God and giving thanks to him. But in verse number 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. Listen, God wants you to trust him in all frustrations that you have in your life. Have you ever been frustrated before? You say, when you start getting frustrated, you just blow off and you go cuckoo, you go crazy. Sometimes people get frustrated, they stop tithing, they stop coming to church. They don't even want to see their mate. They don't even want to, no, listen, if you want to do that, remember, you are human. That's going to happen. Satan's trying to stop you and he's saying, hey, keep being frustrated. Keep being frustrated. But this is God saying, hey, I'm using that tool right now because I want to grow you up a little bit. Are you able to say, hey, that is something in my life right now, whatever gets me frustrated, is Satan doing that? Or is God trying to do that to help you to see that we need to grow up a little bit? In verse 18, no doubt, we need to trust the Lord in our feelings. And can I tell you, there's a lot of feelings pop up here. Sometimes feelings come out of our mouth. And we start saying things that we wish we could take back. And no doubt we feel like quitting. No doubt we feel like hitting. No doubt we feel like, you know, cussing and just taking everything up. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Can you get in your life that you're not going to allow these frustrations to come? You're not going to allow these things to stop you from having God's will in your life and seeing Centralia Bible Baptist Church move on to newer heights And you're not going to let your feelings get in the way that you're going to start stirring up everybody and start having them the same kind of ugly feelings that you have. Or are you going to say, I'm going to have a contrite heart, contrite spirit. Now remember, David's in a cave, and he's trying to tell all the men there that they're kind of going in a different direction too. He's saying, hey, listen, praise God all the time. Stop and praise God all the time. And then he's trying to teach them how to do it. Fear the Lord. Trust him. And David comes up. Listen, don't allow these frustrations to hit you. Don't allow these feelings to come. Look at verse 20. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Trust the Lord with your future. David is saying, I am glad none of my bones have been broken. And then he's thinking about the future where he remembers, I remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, and the Bible tells us that none of his bones would be broken. And remember when they put him on the cross, they came, they had to take a breath, they came back up, they took a breath, and when they came to the thief on the cross, they broke his legs, but when they got to Jesus, he already died. They did not touch his bones, and his bones were not broken, because Scripture says that. Listen, God has a future for you and for me. And if we're going to allow our frustrations and we're going to allow our feelings to get involved in that, we are not going to be able to see the future that God has for us. And then in verse 21, it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Trust the Lord with your foes. Do you know that you have people that really don't like what you're doing? Some of them don't understand it. Trust the Lord. God has given them there for you. I've always said when we had our first child, that was kind of great. The second child, we tried to raise him as the first child. That didn't work out. And so you think you got a pattern there to follow. And then you get the third one, and you start doing the first one, the second. Not. So now you got to start all over. And now you go all the way down that with six kids, and you say, man, this just don't work out. And so I've always said this. I know why God gave us all six of our children that are different. He gave them for me so I could grow up and love God even greater. Because I'm telling you, each one of them, sometimes they were like, how am I going to deal with this? But yet God gave them to me so I could sit back, not get frustrated, sit back, not allow my feelings, and allow God to grow me up in the Lord. I guarantee you life would be much better if it just came grandkids first. That's for sure. Love the grandkids. I love my kids too. Look at verse 22. And the Lord redeemed the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Can you trust the Lord with your failures? Many of us have failed. Thank the Lord that we don't stay down, that we get up. And so when we think about David in this cave, and we think about all the things that God wants to do to our lives, we are human. We're going to have these things. Satan is going to try to stop God's will in your life. Are you going to allow God to take this as a tool to allow you to become more and more and more like the Lord? Remember the promise in verse 19 when it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all them. Can you say amen to that? Once we start to get to know Christ a little more, and we want to know him more, and we want to know him more, all of these things make sense. When we stop and we start getting more frustrated, and we're allowing Satan to get that thing up, and then he affects our feelings, and now our feelings start reflecting everybody else with our bad feelings, then all these things take place. We don't see the purpose that God has. Remember, he works all things out for the good in your life. I say, Lord, why? Why would you ever? I keep telling Cynthia, do you believe I just had a heart attack? I mean, It's like, I thought I was pretty healthy. I didn't know I had a problem. But my heart, because it wasn't finding the real vessels to hit, it found some temporary ones. And so the temporary ones working while the other good ones were getting all plugged up. And so never knew it, but those things were just temporary. And I'm so glad that the doctors were able to find that. So now they opened up all the good ones that I need to have. And my heart is not no longer operating on these temporary ones. And they say, you're gonna feel and you're going to look much, much better. Actually live much longer. And so here, when people think that you're going to have a heart attack and quit the ministry, I'm looking at it, man, God just gave me another 50 years to live to plant some more churches. And so I do ask the question, why did God allow this to come into my life? I think it was really stressful for my wife, because they do say you have a different personality, and I think I might have a different personality. I don't know. I have to ask her. But things weren't going good at the beginning. But I look back, and I had like 8 or 12 nurses, and invited all the nurses, and they actually, after it's all said and done, went and gave them some coffee cards and thanked them for taking good care of me, even gave them to my doctors. I'm in the old folks category, because I got doctor appointments every day now, it seems like. And I'm doing my therapy, and when I'm doing my therapy in the room there at the hospital, I look around, and man, everybody's like 80 and 90. Here I'm looking at, what am I doing here, you know? And so it's a humbling experience to think, hey, but listen, here's what happened, and I want to share this. One of the first nurses after Centralia, they drew me down in ambulance to St. Pete's to do the angio thing. And one of the nurses, the first nurses there, we have a nurse in our church that was not unable to be there, and she said, hey, she got me a very special nurse, which was Eden. And Eden came, and she was the first nurse. And so here is Eden. Now, just think about this and bear with me. Adversity. Eden just came back from the Philippines, and their 2-month-old daughter was in the hospital. And so she's there. And so now she just got a phone call that her son just tried to commit suicide here in the States. And so she catches a flight that same day to come back to be with her son that's in the hospital. You know who Eden thinks to call to come and pray? Miss Pastor Rick. She's my first nurse. So she says, Pastor Rick, can you come up and pray for my son? So she leaves her daughter back there in the Philippines, where she's still there now. She comes back with her son. And as I go to the hospital there at Mary Bridge, spend some time, pray with Clarence, and then go away, and we kind of hit a connection, and then come back the second day and pray. And then the mom called and said, hey, Clarence got home, and he'd actually like to see you. And so Clarence came and saw me, and as we went out to eat, and then yesterday took him to the church, and yesterday Clarence accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And this is Clarence right here. Stand up, Clarence. Let me see. Here's a teenager, 10 years old, got mixed up with pot, some drugs, going in a wrong direction. Lord said, hey, you need to have a heart attack. Adversity. Why? Because I know Pastor Rick will invite people to come to church as a nurse. And while his mom was clean over in the Philippines, got here, she remembered to call. His mom is coming to church in Olympia this morning over there. Can we see God? He has a plan. But if we allow all these frustrations and all these feelings and everything take place in our life, we're going to miss out on the greatest thing ever to see folks. Now, Charles and the family, they're raised Catholic. And so, Charles, he knows what he's done wrong. He does not want to go that way no more. He just thanks the Lord. Matter of fact, he's sorry that he put his mom through all that, because the mom's been raising him, and he wants to make sure that his mom knows that he loves him and all that such and such like that. But here's God that can think about loving a person that maybe is getting away from him. And now he says, because he's got Catholic, hey, I want to be a priest someday. He's thankful. And he wants to learn more about Christ.
Amen.
And love him. I wonder today, where are we at? Are we like frustrated because things are not going the way we think right now? Can I remind you, God is still God, whether your preacher is here right now or not. And we can still invite folks to church. We can still see folks saved. We can still say, hey, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be in a cave. Rejoice in the Lord. And God does want to do a great work in and through our lives. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed today. The piano will just play here just in a second, but let me just ask a question or two, and I want you to know that we love you, the church, our church loves you, your pastor and Christy, they love you, they want the best, for you, but it's going to take individuals, us, right here, to see, to keep that joy going. How many of you would say right now that if I were to die, I am 100% sure I would go to heaven when I die? And you have a testimony. You could raise your hand and say that. Amen. How many of you are here today and say, preacher, I'm not for sure. If I die, I would go to heaven, but I would like for you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that that's here today? Amen. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Not knowing for sure, but we'd like to pray for you. Amen. How many of you are Christians would say, and please, no one looking around. Listen, I've allowed things, all these frustrations, and all these things take place. And I'm allowing the adversities to come, and the adversaries are coming to my life, to stop in this joy that I know I need to have to keep going on and living for Christ. You'll say, preacher, would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Just hold your hand up high. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm going to pray. And all of you that raised your hand, if you really mean business, just take a step. Come to the altar. We won't sing a song, but just come to the altar. The piano will be playing. Pray, go back to your seat. And let's ask God to start right here with me, and it might be with you, that God would allow Centralia Bible Baptist Church to continue forward, that all people will know in this area, there's a big lighthouse right here. And it's because of people that have determined that they're going to not get in a cave, but they're going to listen to a preacher. They're going to listen to God, and they're going to rejoice, and they're going to keep rejoicing in all things. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you can do and what you will do in and through our lives. So we love you. Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the piano is playing, some have come. Please come and allow God just to work how he wants to work in your life.